God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is based off of our gospel reading as Jesus is presented with a situation. A man tells him to say to his brother to divide the inheritance. Jesus goes into a very important teaching, and the teaching is, it's not about money. It's not about stuff. It's not about toys. It's about God's grace. Do they believe and trust in what God is going to provide for them, or do they believe and trust in what they can provide for themselves? Jesus even goes on to tell a parable in connection with this about a man who was very, very plentiful. He had a lot of resources. And he goes and says, it's time to tear down the barns and build new. God then has a little bit of a chastisement. Because when God says to you, fool, it's not good. This isn't fool in the frame of being a clown for entertainment. But this is a fool as far as one that's now destined to eternal death and damnation. Why? Was it because of the money? No. There's nothing wrong with money. Money is a tool. Was it because he invested money? Again, the answer is no. There's nothing wrong with properly investing money. The reason why God uses the phrase fool is because the man only trusted in his resources and did not trust in God. That is the problem. I will admit the devil tries to use many things in our lives to get us to pull away from God's grace and mercy. And in this case, the devil used the love of money to pull the guy in this parable away from God. Jesus very clearly sets the stage. What is the most important thing? It is God and the blessings that he gives. That is the most important thing. And as long as you got the most important thing right, pretty much everything else falls into place. Today's Bible text picks up on the concept of greed. It's not necessarily about money. Money is a tool. But greed that trusts in the blessings that one can acquire for themselves more than the blessings of God. By the way, you might be thinking to yourselves, well, we kind of know this. But greed is something that, you know, only rich people struggle with. That is not true. If you ever want a classic example of this, think back to your own childhood. Think back when you were just a little boy or a girl. Let's say that there were four around the family table. And then all of a sudden, here comes dessert. And you find out there are only three desserts. Does greed sink in? Everyone sits there and says, I want dessert, but there isn't enough. And now do we get greedy or do we share? Greed is not something that's just for the rich. It's for anyone, regardless of income. And that is what our Lord and Savior is cautioning about in today's text. What is the answer to overcome greed in today's world? How do we know that we're not a greedy person? Because if I'm saying that greed can come at any level of line of poverty, how can we do the balance check in our own lives to determine whether we have greed or not? Well, plain and simple, Jesus gives many examples. To the rich man, in another part of the Gospels, he basically says, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. Could we do that? We sometimes even struggle with just giving, quote unquote, 10%, the tithe. Now, we're getting serious. So what is it that combats greed? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, gives us the answer. Compare for a moment, if those of you may have studied Greek mythology. You know, the idea of the ancient Greek gods being up there in the heavens, so to speak. Did they really care for humanity? The answer was most of them did not. Did they share any of their power? The answer was no. Actually, a lot of them made sport of, quote-unquote, humanity. Now let's compare and contrast that with the Almighty God. What does God do? God who is Almighty, who's not mythology, God who is real, who can make and create anything, does what with us sinners, us rebellious human beings? He says he's going to take on flesh and blood, come to earth, suffer and die. It shows us a God who gives of himself for others, even others who are less deserving, even others who don't even respect who he is, even others who really don't care. God takes on flesh and blood, goes to the cross and dies for all of humanity. Yes, we have a God who gives of himself. And so what happens when this God who gives of himself constantly gives more and more blessings to people here on earth, and then now they become greedy? You would think that God would sit there and chastise them and wipe them off the face of the earth because of their greed. Yet, because of Christ's own death and resurrection, God offers forgiveness, grace, and mercy. I will admit, this should be a major teaching point for us. We should pick up on this concept and say, wow, if God can be so generous and gracious to us, why am I so stingy? And the reason why we are so stingy and greedy is because of our own sin. So what is the answer to greed? The answer is really to share. I picked up a story off of the internet entitled, "We Ain't Poor." And let me read to you this story. It serves as the basis of today's title. It goes like this. The Sheldons were a large family in severe financial distress after a series of misfortunes. The help they received was not adequate, yet they managed their meager income with ingenuity and without complaint. One fall day, I visited the Sheldons in a ramshackle rental house. They lived at the edge of the woods. Despite a painful physical handicap, Mr. Sheldon had shot and butchered a bear, which strayed into their yard once too often. The meat had been processed into all the big canning jars they could find or swap for. There would be meat in their diet, even during the worst of winters, when the fuel costs were high. Mr. Sheldon offered me a jar of bear meat. I hesitated to accept it, but the giver met me, unspoken resistant, firmly. "Now you have to just take this. We want you to have it. We don't have much, that's a fact, but we ain't poor." I couldn't resist asking, "What's the difference?" His answer proved unforgivable. "When you can give something away, even when you don't have much, then you ain't poor. When you don't feel easy giving something away, even if you have more than you need, then you're poor, whether you know it or not." The story continues, "When I feel myself resisting an urge to share what's mine, or when I see someone sharing freely from the little he has, I remember Mr. Sheldon saying, 'We ain't poor.'" The truth of the matter is, whether the story is true or not, we ain't poor. We ain't poor because we have a God who richly blesses us and forgives us. We have a God who gives of himself when he had really no real need to do so, but out of love for us, he dies on the cross. He forgives our many sins. Because God isn't poor, he gives of himself. He creates us, redeems us, keeps us in that faith. And we are now richly blessed because of that. Yet because of these blessings, very often we become very, very covetous and greedy. And so we need to return to our Savior, to the one who so richly gives us many blessings. And we have to remind ourselves, we ain't poor. God indeed has richly blessed us. He invites us with his word. He feeds us with his own body and blood. He forgives us our many sins, our many shortcomings, even when greed seems to consume us and overwhelm us. He showers upon us even more. So that maybe the lesson needs to be realized. We ain't poor. We are richly blessed. We love because God first loved us. It all begins with God. He gives to us this many blessings so that we in turn can share those blessings with those around us. He gives us many blessings not to covet and to hoard, but to use. Our Old Testament reading from Ecclesiastes brought up a very interesting point that even our parable also brought up. We work, we toil. For what? Is this where our final treasure is? You can't take it with you, we may remind ourselves. We work and we toil so that we can share and share with others. We work and we toil in this world to make it a better place for the next generation. We work and we toil so that others may also know the basis and the reason why. The reason why is because none of it is really ours. It all belongs to God. And so now it kind of makes a little sense in why Scripture would say, sell your possession and give alms. If we truly believe and trust in the Lord and truly realize that he is going to take care of us, should that be a difficulty? Well, I will admit, our sinful nature is still strong. Greed is a very powerful god that our sinful nature wants to latch onto. But thanks be to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has defeated sin, death, and the devil. He has ultimately defeated greed. He has given you the forgiveness of sins so that you can boldly trust in him. The problem again is not storing up. The problem again is not making money. The problem is trusting in that money to save you, something that possessions, greed, and covetousness can never do. They can never save you from your sins. When we use divine service setting 3 and we get to the confession, we say, I, a poor, miserable sinner. In one essence, we're using the poor in the correct way there. Because when it comes to spiritual matters, we absolutely have nothing. Not only has God blessed us physically, he has blessed us spiritually. And we come before him as beggars, empty-handed. Because spiritually, we have nothing. Physically, we have nothing apart from what God gives. And we have a gracious God who bestows many more blessings upon us undeserving humans. So this day we return to the Lord and we say thank you for the many blessings that you have given, that he has given to us, the physical blessings, the spiritual blessings, and we ask the Lord to help melt our greed-ridden heart. And to look for opportunities that we can share what God has so richly and bountifully given to us, to those in need. It can be simple as sharing your love and forgiveness. It can be simple as sharing some of the resources or time or energy. It's not just about money. It's about the sharing. It's about overcoming the greed. Remember, we ain't poor, but we are rich in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.